You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor of 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Thunder Podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G., thanking you so much for making us a part of your day and reminding you that Locked On Sooners is a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And to listen, or the best place to listen, would be in your car. All you have to do is ask your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast, and it pulls right up for you. It's the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Coming up on today's show, the Oklahoma Sooners sneak into the NCAA. We'll just skim the surface right now of this Ole Miss game and do a more thorough breakdown as the day goes along. But we'll talk about who the real MVP is of the OU men's basketball program today. It was very obvious in some comments that Lon Kruger made yesterday. Plus, we'll talk about ultimately what OU has to do to make this a successful season. Christian James said there's something OU has to do to make it a successful season. So we'll discuss that. We'll follow up on Jalen Hurts. We talked about that on Saturday, I think it was, a little bit. I can't remember if it was Saturday or Friday. But we'll talk about the report that's out there that Jalen Hurts was struggling a little bit in the offense. Saw some things directed at me on social media. I'll respond to that. First of all, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast and then responding on social media. We'll talk a little bit about the offensive line and whether or not there should be concern there. And then finally, we'll wrap things up today because it's not often, it's not often that I agree with the SEC, but when I do, it's on this particular matter. We'll tell you what it is, plus how players skipping bowl games has now filtered its way into college basketball, and I'm surprised it took this long. My name is Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I also run a website called Sooner Maven. Check it out. It's College Sports Maven, collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. Yes, I can talk. Every once in a while, I can talk. And if you are listening to this podcast, remember, you can subscribe on Apple iTunes. It's also available on Stitcher and Spotify. The OU men's basketball team has nothing to apologize for at all. They got into the NCAA tournament fair and square. Lon Kruger saying yesterday after the selection show where OU was picked to be a 9 seed to take on Ole Miss, that the NCAA tournament or the selection committee lays out a blueprint and it's up to you and your athletic department to follow that blueprint. So if you have any complaints, shut up. Well, Lon Kruger didn't necessarily say it that way. He was a hell of a lot nicer about it, but I'm going to say it that way. Shut up. Shut up. For the first time in maybe the history of the NCAA tournament, we have finally been told as fans that the regular season matters, that all those games that you're going to invest your time in and watch in November or December when teams are out of the country, that the selection committee is actually going to take that into consideration. And what Joe Castiglione, who is the MVP of the OU men's basketball program right now, what he and his staff did that was so genius was made sure that OU had zero quad four opponents. Now, what is a quadrant four opponent, you're asking? Well, a quadrant four opponent, when teams were first divided into quadrants, were programs that were ranked 161 and below in the ratings power index, or what we would call the RPI. Well, now you've got the net ranking, and it still follows that 161 or below. OU played none of those teams. They won three games against teams who were in the NCAA tournament. And yes, I think you and I can look at this 7-11 Big 12 conference record that OU has, and I think it's, 5-12 that Ole Miss has in the SEC, and we can both sit here and say that these two teams don't deserve to get in. But if we're really looking for the 68 most worthy teams or the 68 best teams in the NCAA tournament, then that means schools like OU and Ole Miss are going to get admitted. Now, granted, I think the selection committee is going to look to pair those teams against each other like they did with the 8-9 seed with OU and Ole Miss, and they're going to look to get them out of the tournament as quickly as possible. So hopefully the cream rises to the top, because that's ultimately what you need in order to draw ratings. And this year, the team you need to draw ratings is Duke. Duke has got to go far in the NCAA tournament in order for you to feel really comfortable about ratings, revenue, whatever. You need North Carolina, Virginia. You can't have Virginia getting knocked out by Maryland, Baltimore County. It's great for that first night, terrible for the weekends after that. But OU, by what they did in the non-con, by making sure that they weren't feasting on cupcakes. And let's be honest, not every team that OU played was a good team this year in the non-con. Vanderbilt's pretty horrific. Northwestern wasn't as good as they were the year prior. Creighton falls into the same category, Wichita State, so forth and so on. But at least you're trying to schedule teams who have some sort of connection to the NCAA tournament and have made it in the past, and you're not trying to pad your schedule with a bunch of teams that never really showed that they were going to make a run, or B, you knew you were going to beat in the first place, and you were just trying to make sure that your team stayed healthy for the conference season. No, OU went out, challenged itself, and the NCAA put its stamp of approval on this. Now comes time for OU to prove the NCAA selection committee right, and don't give any non-Power 5 schools any reason to point the finger because you made an early exit by having a bad showing against Ole Miss. Now, granted, and we're going to delve more into this game as the week goes on, as I get a chance to look at Ole Miss and kind of rip them apart. And I want to give you not only a thorough breakdown on Sooner Maven, but I want to give you a thorough breakdown on this podcast. But for right now, I want to look at what it takes for OU to have what they're considering a successful season. And Christian James saying yesterday that in order for this season to be successful, OU's got to make a deep run in the tournament. Well, deep run means that you're going to at least the second weekend and maybe beyond that. Well, okay, let's just forget Final Four. You're going to at least the second weekend. You're making it to at least the Sweet 16 and possibly the Elite Eight. That seems to be the standard that Christian James has set. And while I want to agree with Christian James that is the only thing, sorry about that, that's the only thing we should accept as success for the OU men's basketball team, I can't go there. I can't go there because you have put too much of an inconsistent product on the floor. And you, as a senior leader, Christian James or Rashard Odoms or Jamadi McNeese, any of those guys, never showed a game-in, game-out tenacity to prove to me that you really wanted to make a deep run in the tournament. And Christian James also yesterday, because I asked Christian James, kind of all feeding off the same question, about what has to change, and he said they just got to come out and play with intensity. If OU plays with intensity, then it'll all be good. Well, if it was just simply that easy, I think they would have done it all season long. And I don't know what OU team we're going to get in this first round of the tournament. Are we going to get the OU team that we saw prior to January and throughout the non-con that told us that they were a Sweet 16, possibly Elite Eight contender? Or are we going to get the same team that went on a five-game losing streak in the middle of conference play, where we had to wonder if they really should get into the NCAA tournament, even if the selection committee found them to be an NCAA tournament team? I don't know. And I think Christian James, I understand that you want to say getting there isn't good enough. And I'm all on board with that. I'm all in on that. OU loses to Ole Miss, I'll be just as pissed off as anyone else is. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, I take OU basketball losses a lot harder than I take football losses. Especially when you're playing at 11:40 on a Friday morning, and I feel like my NCAA tournament experience has been ripped away from me so early. Nah, 11:40 in the morning, that's too early for you to get beat. You can only get beat in the first round if you're playing after 7 o'clock at night. That's a hard, fast rule that I live by. You don't have to live by that, but it's just kind of the way that I roll. Because it's the one thing about being kind of a football-minded guy. It's your work your way up all the way to the game, and then basketball just goes by quick. But I would say if you win a game, if you beat Ole Miss, and you make it to Virginia, who starts off against Gardner-Webb, then you can go ahead and consider that a successful year for OU. It's not the way that the seniors would have wanted to end, but I think you have to look at the big overall picture. And the overall big picture for OU is that you just were not that good of a team this year. You're lucky to be where you are now. And again, not saying you got to make apologies, but is it realistic to think that you can make that second week of the tournament? For the players, yeah. I think for the fans, no. And I would consider a successful year, sort of, if OU won that first one. Honestly, if OU wins that first one, gets beat by Virginia, looking back on what happened in the conference season this year and that five-game losing streak, I don't think I can call it a success. And what I'm really hoping for is just being able to build next year with that brand new recruiting class you got coming in, which is a top 15 recruiting class. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Coming up next, we'll do a follow-up on Jalen Hurts and what I had to say there. It's the Locked On Sooners podcast. Did you know you can fill out a tournament bracket on DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tourney, and you might as well do it on the award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is actually offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. So you know exactly how a bracket works. So before the tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick a winner for every single round of the NCAA tournament. That's all you've got to do. And the best part is you can play for free. All you've got to do is use the code LOCKEDONNCAA. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends. So you're looking for all the bragging rights with your buddies. This is a great way to do so. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use that promo code LOCKEDONNCAA for the bracket battle promotion. And it's free to compete for your share of $64,000 in prizes. That's Locked On NCAA. Enter the bracket battle for free only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Don't forget about Locked On Thunder. We've got another episode available as well of that, and we're rolling right along as Oklahoma City gets ready to get into the playoffs. Talk about a lot of Russell Westbrook on this last one. But Locked On Thunder and Locked On Sooners, perfect for car listening. All you got to do is ask your smart device to play us. Just play the Locked On Sooners podcast by asking Siri. And remember, you can subscribe on Apple iTunes. It's also on Stitcher and Spotify. It's the Locked On Sooners podcast. Wanted to respond to some stuff that I saw on social media this weekend. And first of all, I want to thank everybody who listened to the podcast to hear what I had to say about the Jalen Hurts situation. Thank you very much. And if you disagree with me or think I'm overreacting, you're probably not wrong in some cases, but all this came out of a report on 24/7 Sports that says Jalen Hurts is struggling some, struggling being the key word there, some being the other key word, to get down the OU offense. And Lincoln Riley's even admitted that he's thrown a lot of things at him and Tanner Mordecai to see how quickly they can adapt. Now, I would say that if Jalen Hurts can't get things down by the fall, then it becomes a concern for OU, because Lincoln Riley's then put into a situation of how much do you adjust your offense to fit the skill set that Jalen Hurts has, or are you going to go with Tanner Mordecai? And if Spencer Rattler knocks your eyes out, are you going to go with him? And that can become a very realistic possibility. It is not out of the realm of possibility to bring this all up. Will it happen? See, I don't think so. And that's the one thing that I don't know if I made my point perfectly clear in the last podcast is, one, Jalen Hurts is a smart dude. And I really still believe that he doesn't come to OU unless he knows he's got a very good opportunity to start. That being said, if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm not real sure about adjusting what I do to fit a player's style when something has brought me this far in my career. And something has taken me to two of the college football playoffs, or two college football playoffs in back-to-back years. So it would be hard for me to change. Now, I've always said this much. I think the best coaches know how to adjust to the talent that they have and don't stay set in their ways. And some of the worst coaches that I've seen can only coach one particular system. Mike Locksley, who's now at Maryland, get stuck in coaching one system. And then they can't coach around the players that they have. They know how to adjust. I would think Lincoln Riley falls into the category of being able to adjust to his players. But yeah, I think if Hurts doesn't have it down as a by the fall, then you've got a problem. But remember, you've got all spring and all summer to work on this. The OU coaches are still positive about his upside. So if anybody thought I was grading Jalen Hurts unfairly or trying to cause panic, no. Nothing's further from the truth, but I do think it's a valid question to bring up that if he's not getting things down now in an offense that's supposed to be easier to grasp, should there be any red flags to go up? Probably not at OU, not for me right now, but come the fall, if you're still having those same concerns, the good thing is if you're OU, there's two five-stars sitting behind him, so you don't have to panic all that much. Although the one thing about Jalen Hurts is that leadership that he has, his 2 years starter at Alabama with that 27-2 record, I wouldn't want to be taking that off the field. Wouldn't want to be doing it unless you've just got an extraordinary athlete behind him. The biggest concern, I would think, in spring right now is the offensive line when you're moving a former defensive tackle over to offensive line. And right now, at least the talk is, you're going to be starting a grad transfer on the offensive line, and you don't have Creed Humphrey playing on the offensive line. Panic level on the offensive line for me. Where is that panic level on the offensive line? I would say it's probably running at about 4. Can't go any higher than 4, and 4 is being overdramatic, and it all comes down to the in Bill Beedenbo we've trust. And if Bill Beedenbo can take Drew Samia as a true freshman and start him at tackle and have success and use Orlando Brown as a redshirt freshman, and he can replace an Orlando Brown and you not see any drop-off at all, then that is a guy that I'm going to have complete faith in as far as his ability to develop talent. And until Bill Beedenbo shows me there's no reason to trust him and the way he develops offensive linemen, then I can't worry about that too much. And I'll always worry about quarterback more than offensive line just because quarterback is the most important position on the field. And considering the type of offense that OU runs, yeah, I'm going to want the quarterback to be good. But ultimately, still faith in Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley and Bill Beedenbo. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. I don't always agree with the SEC, but when I do, it's about this, and I'll tell you what it is next.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Also, make sure you listen in your car. All you have to do is tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast, and it'll pull right up for you. It's the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, available on Apple iTunes and Stitcher, and also available at LockedOnPodcast.com. Being a Big 12 guy, it's very hard for me to agree with the SEC. In fact, I would say most of the times I don't agree with the SEC on anything, just really on principle to argue with SEC fans. But I do agree wholeheartedly with the SEC presidents that the college football playoff for right now needs to stay at 4 teams. And there's no reason to creep out into 8. Now, how did they come to this conclusion? Well, one, it benefits the Southeastern Conference because we've already seen a year where two SEC teams got in. And two, well, we know the SEC's elitist. And as long as there's 4 teams in there, then the SEC and the Power Five can have a grasp on this and make sure that teams like Boise State and San Jose State, not to pick on the Mountain West, okay, finally, Troy, Buffalo, whoever, can't get in, and this doesn't become like the NCAA tournament. And one of the reasons why I'm going to go along with the SEC presidents on this is because of OU and Ole Miss. If you have a losing conference record, you're not getting into the college football playoff. Even if you do have a even if you are over 500, well, and I know football, completely different sport and whatever you want to say about that. But what I am saying is that we know, I mean, look, if we're completely honest about it, OU and Ole Miss, that 8-9 seed, neither one of those teams are worthy to play for a national championship. Can we agree? I mean, if we're saying out of the Big 12, we're probably what? Kansas State, Texas Tech, Kansas, probably the three teams most worthy of playing for a national championship. I just have never wanted to see that in college football. I've never wanted it to creep out to eight, and then you start letting three lost teams in, two lost teams in. It's got to be earned. And with you only having 12 games, there needs to be an air tight blueprint of what you have to do to get in. And the more teams you start letting in, the more watered down the product becomes. However, to contradict myself here, I would say if you creep it out to eight and the Power Five agree to only play each other, then we're going to get a hell of a lot better football on Saturdays every single weekend. Every weekend we will get great football on Saturdays, because then the cost won't be as high for schools like USC and Alabama or OU and Florida State to play each other, because you lose, you're still going to have an opportunity to go to the playoffs. Even if you lose two of those non-con games, you'll still have the opportunity if you go win your conference. And if there's anything that's going to change the way that college football is run, it's if the Power Five conferences come to an agreement to only play each other and ultimately squeeze out the group of five. Something happening in college basketball, I can't believe it hadn't happened sooner. We are starting to see kids whose schools are going to the NIT deciding not to play in postseason basketball. Daniel Gafford, I believe is his name, from Arkansas. He's a projected first-round pick, not going to play in the NIT. And I don't blame him. It's the NIT. You get nothing out of playing in the NIT, but he's going to go work on the combine and get himself ready for that. This isn't a big deal because it's the NIT and everybody agrees. Just wait till somebody like Zion Williamson has a situation like he did earlier in the year with that blowout and that scary moment, and he decides he's not going to play in the NCAA tournament. That's when the dominoes start falling. And that's when the NCAA and the NBA do the right thing and start allowing kids to enter the draft right out of school without having to go to college. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. We'll start breaking down Ole Miss tomorrow, and we'll get you ready for that. Plus, we'll talk a little more spring football. And until then, may God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody. Peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcasts Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.